This is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
Ladies and gentlemen, how is it going? This is Darren Jonathan here. I want to welcome you to the very first edition of this show on the 27th of July 2018. I want to first off thank the RBN Network, Dan, and everyone else there for allowing me to do this. For those of you that don't know me, I'm an Irish-born native, and we're actually doing this live from Ireland today, so it's 7 o'clock p.m. for me right now. I hope everyone is doing well today. I'm really, really excited to kick off this very first show. And as you can hear from the intro music, it's going to be a man's world with this show. This podcast, this radio show and podcast, and if you're listening to it on the podcast or live FM or online, we're going to aim this show towards men. I think there needs to be more shows out there to help men. You know, give more opinions for men. And in this crazy world that we live in right now, I think it's needed more than ever. I had the pleasure and the opportunity to be on the John Stad Miller show almost 2 months back when we talked about putting the show together. And I was telling him my past, my history, you know, where I come from in the world. And, you know, we have a lot to share and a lot in common, Irish people and Americans, and you know, the struggle is the same for freedom. And I'm sure there's many people listening to the show with Irish ancestors, maybe you're even from Ireland, a lot of expats I know, or you know, we have a shared history and a shared struggle, and the men of our great country and the women have really changed the face of the globe. And I want to hopefully keep that alive with this show. So This show is not just for men. Women can listen in too, but this is mostly for men to give them a platform to, you know, share their voice, their opinion, and hopefully we can see how far we go with this. So excuse any hiccups or anything you might hear that might be incorrect. It's the first time I'm doing this, so I'm a little nervous, but I guess everyone is when you're doing something for the first time. So we're going to kick off the show, and yeah, I have a little guest with me today, and I'll introduce him in a moment, but I guess I'll do the big thing and talk about myself a little bit. It's not something I'm used to doing. The reason why I'm coming out on this network is I used to listen to this radio network for years, and for those of you in the Truth Movement, which I was heavily interested in, involved in, you wake up one day and things aren't just sitting right. They don't feel right. And you can't really verbalize what you're feeling inside. And you come across or you reach a certain point in your life. Something might crack. You might come to a crisis in your life. You know, you might have a kind word with a friend or a family member. And things start to fall in place. The pieces kind of fall together. And you kind of go on this journey of truth. And it can lead you to many places. And for me, I started off in the info war kind of thing that we have right now, on just wanting to grasp the real truth on the world. And it led me down to self-help, self-development, and really started asking myself questions about myself and where do I fit into this world, and with everything going crazy on, where do I come into it and how do I better myself? And as a man, I think that's where I first started to look at, is where in myself can I make the greatest impact first. And that led me down the path of masculinity and a lot of crazy directions. I used to work for big dating companies, dating and relationship companies. I used to work in weddings as well as a teenager for hotels. I am also still in the Army Reserves here in Ireland. I come from a struggle enough background. I never had a really father figure in my life. My stepfather wasn't the nicest growing up, and he had his own problems, like we all do. We're very disconnected from our fathers. And I feel like It's common across the world. Most of us don't have healthy relationship with our fathers. Maybe most of us don't even know our fathers, or they have little involvement in our life. And I feel that's kind of where I started myself, was to figure out, what do I need in my life to get me on there as regards to role models? And that's where I kind of first started looking. And yeah, and if you look at today and you look at some of the statistics that's happening right now with men in the world, it's disastrous. You know, we're, you know, life expectancy, we die, you know, 5 to 7 years before a woman. We're the highest incarceration rate is men. The highest suicide rate is men. You know, we're twice as likely to overdose from drugs. We're twice as likely to fail it. You know, we're more likely to fail in school. We're more likely to be diagnosed at an early age, especially this day and age, with hyperactivity and all that other stuff. And we're also marrying less. There's been more single parent households, and, you know, things aren't looking that good. And it's up to us to hopefully diagnose that problem and find a solution, and hopefully this show can be that. So bear with me, as it's a journey that we're going on together, and it is a bit of an unknown journey, but we'll have guideposts along the way. I've scheduled some really great speakers from all walks and areas of life, from health and fitness to wealth to psychology to everything that hopefully can help men and young men in particular find more answers in their life, and help them become the type of examples that their kids, their partners, their society needs them to be. So about myself again, I've kind of went on this journey for a long time, and especially in the truth movement, and you can come across a lot of ways and perspectives of looking at the world. And I think that's the best place to start, because you can look at a lot of problems of society and see many different avenues of where them problems are coming from. We could say on one hand that the attack or the decline in masculinity, you could say, is from the feminist movement, or you could then look at it also from a biological perspective and see that our food, our water, the chemicals in the air, everything we use is having a biological effect on men. Testosterone is decreasing every single year, and it's been down 60% on average since the 1970s. That's another perspective we can look at. We can also look at from a psychological perspective. Purpose. As men, we don't really have much purpose anymore. What's our purpose? You know, most things are already figured out. We don't have far to go anymore. Manual labor has been automated out away. We're finding it hard to find a place. We don't have anywhere to channel aggression. If we do, we're kind of made to feel bad for it, unless it's in the military, where most men risk and sacrifice their life. And you can also look at from a spiritual perspective. We've kind of lost touch with, you know, religion worldwide, and a sense of community, and a sense of you know, the warrior spirit, you could say, is kind of gone. We're, there's nothing there. And in Ireland, anyway, in particular, we've, our whole nationhood from our myths are built on famous warriors and famous, you know, people who risk their lives for the community and risk their lives to sacrifice for the greater good. And a lot of the mythological stories are filled with this. The hero's journey is a concept that we can touch into later down the line. So you'll find with this talk, it's not as scripted as I'd obviously like it to be, but at the same time, I like to leave it open, because these tangented conversations can hopefully build different connections for different people, and I'll try and make it holistically. And I got this kind of approach by a guy who was also on this famous network, Alan Watt, and he was a guy that really helped me, woke me up to a lot of what's happening in the world with the, you know, you could say the New World Order, or the conspiracy, the One World Government, and, you know, we'll dive into things like that as well, because it's also very, very important, but there's also, it's important to get different perspectives and different approaches on this. So, yeah, we'll have the phone lines open. Please call in. It's going to be a bit candid. I'd love to hear your thoughts, maybe what you'd like to see on the show. And it'd be great to hear your perspective as well, and men and women. I'd love to know what you think is happening with men today in society. So with that, I know I glossed over myself pretty quick. I'm a humble enough Irish lad. I'm going to introduce you to a good friend of mine. And this is a bit candid, him being on the show, but we've been friends now for over 4 years, and we come from very, very different backgrounds, very different psychological makeups. Our family past has been very different, and it's with that difference that has pushed myself and our guest into looking for answers and the unknown, and then that's how we cross paths. And his name is Ferdorica, which is the Gaelic version, and Ferdia for short. And if I have this right, Ferdia was a brother of a famous Irish warrior, Cú Chulainn, and the two of them fought to the death. So even Ferdia's name is after a famous warrior. So I've nothing but admiration for this man, and we'll jump back and forth from a lot of topics. I do have a list of things I'm going to touch on tonight, but I kind of wanted to get him involved because he's been here on my journey, and I think it's very important as men to have other men in our lives who we can share our thoughts with and bounce ideas back and forth and, you know, call us out when we're doing wrong and help us stay on the straight and narrow, as they say. So I'm going to introduce Ferdia. Maybe he can give a couple of words of wisdom, tell him what he might expect from the show as hopefully a listener, and maybe he can tell the people of the world what his thoughts are on what's going on right now with men in this world. And Ferdia, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks very much, Desert, Aaron. So yeah, actually the name Ferdorica, and the story behind it is that they're actually tricked into fighting each other. They're actually tricked to fight to the death, the two brothers, and interestingly enough, by a female queen. So interesting mythology there. And I've known Darren for a long time now, and when I first met him,
I just want to put a quick disclaimer in. Me and Ferdia have Irish accents and can be pretty strong, so we're going to try and speak as clearly and as slowly, so a lot of people don't get lost with our brogue. So unfortunately we can't put subtitles on a radio, but if there's something you don't understand or need more clarification on, please let us know. We all speak the Queen's language, as they say, and we're a common country divided by two countries divided by a common language. So yeah, sorry, I just want to add a buffer in.
Yeah, but when I first met Darren, the nickname I gave him was Morpheus, because he was always like a truth seeker. And he helped sort of open up the matrix for myself and for others. So that's one thing about Darren, which is great, is that whatever he hears, he'll think about and he'll try and find the truth or his truth. And I think that's one of his golden aspects, his personality. But yeah, you're in good hands, lads. You're in good hands. And women.
And women. Can't forget the women. And children and everyone else. So yeah, Ferdia, what do you think is going on now in the world? And I just want to give a background about Ferdia. He's a very humble man, but he comes from a line of very successful actors, and he's very heavily involved in the film industry, which is pretty big over here for shooting Hollywood. You just finished a Hollywood show, if I can say that.
Yeah, I work in the film industry, so a lot of my work is project-based. But it's always good to keep things humble and stay on the DL. So, yeah, I finished a Hollywood film there, which was shot here. I can't say what it was, but it'll be released in February.
It's a big blockbuster.
Big blockbuster,
yeah. So you'll see it in anything you can give away at all?
No, not really.
Okay, all right.
I run the logistics on film sets. That's my day job. And then I do this kind of self-development stuff in my spare time. And I've had a kind of interesting upbringing. When I was 19, I sort of packed my bags and left Ireland and just done Muay Thai kickboxing for 2 years. I just lived hand to mouth, fighting every month. I bet all my winnings on myself. So if I won, I got double. If I lost, I got pretty much nothing. And I just kind of lived like this Thai bum for a few years. But I think I really craved that kind of warrior training, or that kind of training in arms, which we don't really have in this society. We don't, the warrior is dead. There's no need for him anymore, that protector. that warrior society.
Unless it's military.
Unless really it's military,
only,
yeah.
The only, or MMA.
And actually, MMA is jumped up so much since I started doing Muay Thai 10 years ago. Like 10 years ago, not many people did it. And now there's a huge craving for it.
Well, there's an interesting perspective. Carl Jung, the famous psychologist, and one of his, not his students, but a man who studied it underneath him, called Robert Moore, who wrote the great book I recommend everyone getting called King, Warrior, Magician, Lover. He made a comment saying that when a society is consciously devoid of a certain aspect in themselves, they will unconsciously project it out. So if you guys look at the decline of religion, you could say a worldwide, look at what's happening now in the cultural context of things, where you could say the likes of role play as regards to like Renaissance fairs and these dress ups and like Comic-Con, and the idealization of superheroes,
celebrities,
but mostly the superhero kind of craze is nearly a void of the religious aspect of people being dead. We still project these images onto the unconscious cosmos, you could say. We still look for the savior and the hero, and what we once had as a Christian society, we now crave for it, and also in the film one, in the industry. And it's still exactly like a church. And what's more interesting, you could say, the warrior aspect, is because that aspect has been kind of trained out of us, has been kind of given a bad rap. A lot of people have now repressed that aspect themselves, and that's why you can see one aspect that I think that's why it's so popular. You can see MMA being nearly a psychic output for something that we actually don't do anymore, which is get into fisticuffs and get fighting. And you know, the Irish people are pretty famous for fighting the drunken fighting Irish person, but we
don't stand up for ourselves. And I think a lot of the time people don't stand, they want to do the polite thing and not sort of risk themselves or risk their own safety. And I think they idolize people who do, you know. So the ultimate version of that would be MMA fighting. I think that's why it's such a huge thing these days, because it's shunned upon to kind of stand up for yourself anymore. My personal view is, especially aggression is such a negative idea in this society, but aggression has its place, you know. We're animals at the end of the day. Now, I don't think you should bully people, but stand up for yourself with aggression is can be sacred, you know.
And I think, you know, this is what I've always kind of loved about Americans. The American dream, the American side, it was built on a preservation aspect of, you could say, aggression against the crown, you know, aggression against what an individual felt was sacred to him. And the Irish people share it. We look to America, and we always have, as like our you know, our son that actually had a chance to get up and get away and make something for himself before Ireland had a chance to do so. And what's interesting about aggression, there's a great book by another Jungian psychologist called Human Aggression. I recommend everyone to check it out. It's a very small book, but very, 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 very insightful. And it kind of breaks down aggression as it's a driving force outwards. You know, kids can be very aggressive because they're trying to find their way as an individual. It's a more powerful channeled healthy aggression than the aggression we're allowed to believe, which is just one side of this destructive aspect. And it is destructive, but it's also preservated as well. So that I hear the music now, we're going to go to a quick break, but yeah, hopefully we have some callers soon, and we'll talk to you guys on the other side.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Times had the Pac-Man pattern memorized. And I've seen the stuff they put inside Stretch Armstrong.
And welcome back, guys. That was a quick break. 3 minutes can feel like a lifetime sometimes. So we're back. I think what's interesting is you take music, for example, it's an innate kind of force that we don't fully understand, but we feel it. And I think the same is true with what you could say a man is to some extent. And I think if I say the statement, I think men would resonate with it. If you said, if you met another man on the street, let's say, you can kind of tell his kind of, you know, makeup, psychological makeup pretty quickly. You can kind of tell, like, this guy's a man, you could say, or he's not a man. And that, even that word has a lot of implications, and I think we can feel it a lot of times. If I said, oh, he's not a man at all, or he is a man, I know it's very abstract terms, but it's something that other men can feel when they meet someone else, whether it's, you know, you meet a man in a bar, you could say, there could be like an aggression. You could feel the emotions from him. It's either, it could be aggression, it could be welcoming. But we have this innate feeling when we meet other men about our kind of place as regards to where we stand with each other. And it's something that we can't fully describe per se. There is reasons behind it. And a lot of them are biological and psychological. But, you know, for many of my life, I've never really felt like a man, you could say. I never really thought of myself as a man. or, you know, and a lot of, I kind of thought myself as a still a boy, as a immature boy. And I think today's day and age, and, you know, I'm in my late 20s right now, especially my generation, that's still there. There's a lot of immaturity and men not wanting to be responsible for themselves and not wanting to be responsible for their path and journey in life. And you can see this, especially with the younger generation. I'm sure there's a lot of older listeners out there. You can tell that this generation is just not the same as you and I would perceive them to be.
And it's almost like as if it's getting worse every generation,
yeah.
Every single time. And what's really prevalent for men as well is there's no period of when you decide when you're a man. What makes you a man? Do you know what I mean? Is it when you can... Yeah, when you sleep with a woman, or is it when you get married?
Drink beer for the first time.
Yeah, or is it when you shoot a man? What the hell? You know what I mean? There's no marker at all. And what I think, I don't know, I'm not a woman, but what I could imagine would be that with women is when they go through their menstrual cycle, that's the beginning of it. We don't even have anything like that.
Yeah,
as a man, so it creates this real dissidence in society and with you know, young men not knowing when do you.
And I think, and this may be more true in the States, is there's a lot of what you could call initiation rites, which have been throughout every culture all over the world, that would decide when a man became a man, or a boy became a man. Through all ancient societies, we've had these rituals where we would take a boy who was maturing or turning into a teenager at the time, and the men in that tribe would take the boy away, usually from his mother. And there's a lot of cases where this was a dramatized event, where the boy would be snatched away from his mother, the feminine, the kind of the comforter in his life, and then put through a trial. And some of them trials were death. You know, even the Spartans had something very similar. For those who've seen the movie 300, it's based on a real kind of initiation that a lot of these boys went through. And the same in Africa, it was the same in Ireland. You're more of a better Irish historian than me.
Was that tribe? There's a tribe in Africa where you have to kill a lion before you can be seen
as a man.
Yeah. We'll kill a lion with a spear. Do you know what I mean?
And... you know, that are just places where people are scarred. They're literally physically scarred. Mm. And once they go through a certain trial or ritual, then they're allowed to be a man. They're allowed to take a wife and start a family. And those who don't pass it, some who die during it, or some who don't pass it, are not treated equally with other men. And I'm sure that has a very powerful psychological change on a person. And I think today in society, we have pseudo examples of that. Sport can be one. Mm-hmm. In America, fraternities is quite big. We don't really have the concept of fraternities, I don't think, in Europe, and not in Ireland anyway. And then the military as well. And I know for myself, when I was doing my recruit camp, that I was quite older than a lot of the rest of the lads there. Lads, I'm sure you guys don't hear that, the term lads being thrown around much, but
it means, well, they're men.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I think everyone knows, but it's a you'll hear our Irish nuances come out more and more, but you'll see these boys who would go through a crew camp, and before it, they're very energetic, they're very sloppy, they're very you know, very triggered by small things, they could very aggressive, and maybe they're very shy. And I know what the military does is they really put you through a tester. They really try to make you into a man, you know, cleaning your damn room every morning and being regimented and disciplined and doing the stuff that no one else wants to do. And for me, when I went in, I had already these perspectives and this learning about these processes. So it was very fascinating to see these young men go through with me, and the change after, when they went through a coup camp and, you know, they became a soldier per se. And the change in their demeanor and the responsibility, it's like they grew up 5-6 years instantly, because I think they've been put through something, an unconscious psychological change, that really helped solidify them in their place in society. So we actually have one caller in, and it's Mike. Let's see if we can get Mike put.
Sure.
Okay, so I've just been we're going to break, so we'll talk to Mike as soon as we get back from the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
And we're back. I'm listening to the great music that Dan's playing there in the back for me. So just before we take the call, I just want to say that you guys make sure you support the network RBN. They're one of the very few stations, I think, left that's really tried to put out something different. So I think it's very important to help the sponsors on the show, because it helps keep this show running. That's my quick second pitch. So let's see if we can get Mike on the line.
Am I on?
Mike, how are you?
Yeah. Oh, you guys were talking about a little bit of the cultural stuff and manliness, I guess, at the beginning of the show there from the Isles. Are you guys in Ireland, or where are you?
We are in, I was going to say sunny Ireland, but Ireland is very unpredictable, and it's now cloudy. It's going to rain soon. Cloudy. So where are you from, Mike?
Kentucky. We say that here. You know, if you don't like the weather, just wait a while. That little subpolar jet likes to flip around, you know, the jet stream. But I've seen the Liam Neeson's portrayal of Michael Collins, although it's been a number of years ago. He was a bit of a manly man, I guess you could say. And, of course, William Wallace. Can you hear me?
I can indeed, Mike.
Huh?
I can hear you, Mike. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was just a weird echo there all of a sudden. So we have a lot of cultural ties. I mean, be it, I think a lot of the craftsmen fled, Highlanders and stuff, they fled because of the way they were being treated in England. So, you know, we've got instrument makers and the musical ties, of course, the infamous Kentucky whiskey stills and things like that. So there's all kinds of Scotch-Irish connections here in eastern Kentucky. And, of course, you kind of you have a variable accent, even if you don't go to college, you know, to have to learn to listen to all these different professors and their different accents to try to figure out what they're saying. So I have no trouble deciphering what y'all are saying. I mean, it's not, I can't speak for everybody, but I wouldn't worry about it a heck of a lot.
Well, that's good, because Ireland has a maybe, I think, 15 different accents. I have a very Midlands accent, and even at that, if I was to go to my hometown and speak how they would speak, I think everyone might be asking for a translator. But, you know, you're right. I think, especially down in that side of the States, there's a lot of Irish influence, be it the whiskey and the music. And, you know, we live for life. And I think you can see that. That's why I have so much time. You know, I understand a lot of Americans might think the world doesn't view nicely on them. And I can understand aspects of that. But at the same time, Irish people, we absolutely love people from across the pond, because we have a shared past, a shared history. And, you know, a lot of them are returning home, you could say. There's a lot of people with Irish ancestries. When we meet a lot of Americans, I always ask them, do they have any Irish roots? Or if I hear a last Irish name, I know somebody was either forced onto a boat by a bayonet, or they went onto a boat out of desperation to go away from something better. And there's something to be said about somebody returning back to Ireland, or even being alive with a last Scot or Irish name, because it means that generation actually lived, and they might have died here. Like the population of Ireland pre-famine, and I don't think it was a famine, more of a genocide. That's a whole other touchy subject, but I think it dropped by half. It went from 9 million all the way down to about 4 million more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can definitely talk about that. Do you have a specific question in mind, Mike?
I just wanted to mention, you know, you were talking about how men don't seem like they're growing up, or there's you can meet up with somebody and kind of sense their whatever, their maturity as a man. There, unfortunately, I think since at least the mid-80s to the mid-90s, the industrialization of food has escalated, and we've had all this, and I'm going to blame partially the Canadians for this, their remarketing of rapeseed oil as canola oil.
Blame Canada.
The hydrogenated oils is helping to ruin our health, but more than that, you know, besides soy, is something called BPA. I just read last summer that 90% of the macaroni and cheese, I don't know if you guys do macaroni and cheese much over there, but that fake powder cheese that's in that stuff, it's full of BPA, and they've done studies on rats. If they're exposed to BPA, the female rats are not attracted to the male rats. The higher level of BPA that they have, the less attractive they are. So that's, you know, we've got population collapse things happening across most of the first world countries where people just aren't making babies, you know. And then there's this, you know, the opposite mentality that if you have more than two children, why, you're an irresponsible breeder. Some politician's trying to get some attention by calling for a tax on anybody that has more than two children up in Pennsylvania, the Keystone State. And now they do have their problems. They think they're the highest rate of addicted babies right now, born to the commonly called the pillbillies, you know, people that are addicted to the opioids and all that. And if you look, one of the heat maps that I've seen for the rates of addiction across this country it seems to be targeting Northern California through the Bible Belt, right in through Kentucky and up into Pennsylvania and Western New York. So they're targeting the white people. And they found a couple of different shipments of this junk coming in, you know, packed in the back of a sport utility vehicle, enough doses to kill something like 29 million Americans. Now, how is that not chemical warfare? And if you think that's chemical warfare, what else is going on with these estrogen mimics and mutagenic chemicals to ruin or to cause gender confusion and who knows what are other kind of epigenomic damage contributing to the autism pandemic and that sort of stuff. So I think these all have to be considered factors when you talk about men and their maturity as they're just bombarded with unnatural foods as well as this confusing cultural chaos that we're headed into in America. I think by 2035, unless the policy on immigration has changed, we're going to reach a tipping point where more people are born somewhere else and their children than those that were born here with their parents born here. And of course, I don't know how far back goes before our Connolly side of the clan goes back into the Ireland, but I had a cousin that went over there and had a vacation in Ireland, you know, to go back and look at all that, and I've seen the pictures, but I think there's a lot of factors to consider there when you're looking at what's going on with the lack of people resisting or standing up to what's going on. I think in America, our culture was, you know, a kind of a rejection of the king, just like it was in Ireland, a rejection of the occupation, be it, you know, William Wallace or the labor movement that Collins was involved in. But the concept, I think, comes out of the Bible, you know, where the Hebrews were begging for a king. Give us a king like the other nations have a king. And so that was some say the rally cry for a lot of the black robe battalion in America is no king but King Jesus. It was about liberty from oppression and being able to not have to be under the thumb of the church and the crown of England, you know. And of course they wanted their own money system. The colonies had colonial scrip, which they, you know, they stopped that.
You know, I so think just to we're on your point.
Yeah.
There's many ways into a center of a circle. You can approach it from any radius of the circle. And I think the attack on, you could say, or decline really on masculinity is such a multifaceted prong attack that you could look at any avenue of it and it would be a rabbit hole. You know, if you can literally look at the biological warfare that's going on between, that's happening right now on both sexes, to see the damage it's doing. Where we're having more literally effeminized men because of what's in our food, it's what's in the chemicals, what's in everything we use. And this is the thing, I think, when a new society needs to be shaped, and this is nothing new, you know, in the olden days, you know, they called the little people is because they were actually little. They didn't feed them meat or protein, and it actually stunted and, you know, didn't develop their growth. And I think you can see that from even now, it's a more engineered, more precise form of attack from a biological perspective.
There's a cultural thing there, and a lot of the quote scientific community or the medical community to blame your trailer park trash genetics. And it's when you're flooded with mutagenics, you know, chemicals that actually mutate your DNA, that's stupid. I mean, bisphenol A, the fire retardants, even things like the soy protein isolate and a lot of this industrialized food did not exist 40 years ago in our food supply. So, you know, you're talking about two generations of men that are being affected by this and their genetics and epigenomics. So on top of the pill, I mean, you know, the Premarin, pregnant mare's urine pill. There was a country
music song about the pill. Well, I'll tell you an interesting fact about the pill, and this is coming from a guy called Jeffrey Miller, who is an evolutionary psychologist who wrote a fascinating book called The Mating Mind. And he had a lot of studies on this, not himself, but he got a lot of studies saying What's interesting about the pill is it actually lowers, just as you said, BPA in men's system lowers the attractiveness from women. The pill actually does quite something similar in reverse from to men, because they don't go through their natural cycle. And yep. animals can pick up a natural, you know, you know, when a dog is in heat, the other dogs can tell. And there's something similar for that for women as well. So the attack is on both sides, not just men and women. We've been kind of grown to really hate each other. Thanks very much for the call, Michael.
Oh, sure.
I was really glad having you call in. It's pretty crazy how technology could just let me listen to you from Kentucky. And I'm over here in Ireland, which can probably fit maybe 6 or 7 times into Kentucky. So thanks very much for the call. Please call in again. I'm going to try and get back up and running, but I'm going to jump on to the next caller. Seb from the good old Queen's country, my neighbour, United Kingdom.
Gentlemen, I have to admit that, yes, that's quite true. The heart, the eye of the storm, perhaps.
You know, I'll tell you something, Seb, and for the rest of the listeners in the States and everywhere around the world, Irish people have a... I think things are now fine between Ireland and the United Kingdom. There's still a lot of republicanism here in Ireland, and it's the whole repression of 800 years from the United Kingdom is still felt in Ireland. But, you know, I have a lot of affinity towards the United Kingdom, which sounds kind of odd against my historical background, because if it was not for the United Kingdom, we wouldn't have this westernized Christian society. And from, yes, some of the bad that you could say the United Kingdom done, it's actually given us a lot. Like the Magna Carta was, you know, it's one of the foundations of individuality. So I don't want to people think that I'm out there bashing the great almighty United Kingdom. I actually have a lot of affinity for the United Kingdom. And,
well, it's cowering in a corner now under the weight of Trump, the Trump phenomenon, and all sorts of other forces. I mean, just to fill you in, I am a Brit Asian, or I should be. I've never felt British. I've never felt English. I've always felt an outsider, and that's probably not just because of the experiences I've had in this country, but it's probably also because I'm, like yourselves, I'm quite an individual, and, you know, I think I've not been allowed myself, really, to be bullied too much into thinking along the party line, whether it was in school or anything, and I won't accept that anyway. I won't accept it. So when you started talking about this male thing, I found it interesting. I often listen to John and Chris Hinckley. I find quite interesting, and it seems. And I often listen to Jim Kelso just for a sort of a perverse laugh, really. I find his sort of. Well, I find his approach, I know we're not talking about his show, but I find him a little bit extreme right-wing in my view. But anyway, I mean, he's an intelligent guy and he's, you know, sounds personable in a way. I'm sure if we met, he'd be very pleasant. But some of the things he says, you know, really annoy me, and I would love to challenge him to the death on a moral and intellectual level. I wouldn't have a issue doing that at all, but we're talking about your subjects that you've raised, and we've moved, I think, from the male issue slightly to Irish history, which I think has a great resonance with, if you like, Indic history. When I started to study mythology in younger days, I looked a little bit at Celtic fairy mythology, and I discovered that there was many strong parallels between Hinduism and Celtic ideology and the mythology. Of course, the mythology runs all the way through the Germanic belief system, all the way through to the Indic, and I think it's universal. And that's the amazing thing, that there are so many parallels, and when I hear people talk partisan on RBN or any other show, I think it frightens me sometimes, because Not in the sense that I wouldn't confront it. It frightens me in that somehow people filter out the fact that there is so much commonality and so much richness within that, you know, the cultural knowledge, you know, sort of almost hidden knowledge. It's in language, it's in mythology,
well,
it's in you.
That's what's amazing thing is mythology is in you, the individual. We can touch on that as soon as we come back. I can hear the music coming in, but the mythology and what we want to live through is inside you. We give form to these myths. So let's touch, if you can hold on, Seb, to the break, and let's touch base on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized...
One day in Manhattan, clear as could be, till the planes hit the buildings and changed history. They stood for an hour. Once the damage was done, it then suddenly crumbled.
Welcome back. For those of you just tuning in, I'm your host, Darren Jonathan, and this is a new show that we can hopefully kick off, focused around mostly men, our struggles, our future, our past, and you know, how we can become better individuals and serve the community better. And right now on the line, we have Seb from the jolly old United Kingdom, my neighbor, just across a little tiny sea from Ireland. And we were talking about mythologies and how a lot of, you can read a lot of this psychologically and historically wise, that mythologies are very shared across the world. You touched on a fact that in Ireland, it shares a lot of similarities with, you could say, what's Hinduism and over in the East as well, because Ireland, what really interests me about Ireland is the Gaelic language is the oldest Indo-European language, which means it had to come from somewhere. And there's a lot of connections to say it actually originated in the Middle East, and there's a lot of traditions. One of the traditions which was found in the likes of Jordan is when the soldiers and army was coming home, when they were going to war, they'd each pick up a stone. A soldier would pick up a stone, and on returning, they'd throw a stone back into the pile. So they could tell how many soldiers left and also how many soldiers returned home. And now that same tradition was found in Ireland because it was built on a warrior society, very similar to Japan. And you can find into the ancient past, or as far as his story or history goes, a lot of our cultures share a lot of similar mythologies in the past. So, yeah, just going back to Seb there from the United Kingdom, you were saying about mythologies and that, so you want to continue on?
Yeah. I mean, it is a, as you sort of, it's a universal theme. I mean, the battle for, if you like, and you mentioned Jung a couple of times, and some of his colleagues or protégés, I'm not sure who they were, Jung talks about individuation or becoming a whole being. And if you take the polarity of manhood, it gets, for me, in the past I used to read a little bit, you pick up lots of ideas, you try to understand what is this male polarity, what's the relevance of it. And you've, I think the gentleman before and yourselves, you were talking about, mutagenic, if you like, distortions where DNA is being modified. But obviously, there's a lot of information about this now. Right from, for example, agriphosphate. So, in other words, chemicals in the soil that's used to grow things. And of course, you've got that wonderful thing, Roundup as well, that we're all absorbing. And all these things are changing our chemistry. I think our chemistry has been changed significantly, but there's, in a sense, I guess one of my responses to your initial bringing up the subject in the way you have, obviously you've only spoken for a short time, it's the first segment that you're doing, but I think I had a response to this concept of the male, basically, are we being driven by Darwinistic evolutionary forces, chemically, by the environment? Or is it, do we have hope?
We got another break in, Seb. We're gonna, this is the hourly break. We'll be back in 1 minute if you can hang on the line. And I'll jump in on what you're saying there.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.